to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses social, political issues in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. And yes, in the church and in evangelism, we must emphasize personal salvation and sanctification. The individual must do business with God. But remember, the political theater is a place where people demonstrate either their allegiance or their rebellion to God. As we see that most of the Old Testament is about nations and kings and public policy and war. And in the New Testament, the entire book of the Revelation is about the government of man versus Christ and his people. So let's not be offended by biblical commentary on the current culture. Psalm chapter 9, verse 19. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know that they are but men. Now, last week's program was about why so many Americans, those on the political left, despise President Trump. After giving some ancillary reasons, I explained that the primary reason is his support for conservative policy. And my point was not that President Trump or the Republican Party is perfectly Christian in all of its policy, but that any party or candidate that even moderately supports biblical moral positions will be hated by the culture of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those on the left truly want abortion, LGBTQ behavior, gender choice, globalism, big brother government, the elimination of property rights. And it's all being sold under the guise of freedom from oppression. That the Christian worldview, the Christian principles of government are considered oppression. And in one sense it is. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 26, a wise king winnows the wicked and drives a threshing wheel over them. But there is righteous oppression and unrighteous oppression. And imposing the responsibility of the law of God upon the citizenship is not unrighteous oppression. So, there's a culture war between the right and the left, between the biblical worldview and the secular humanist worldview, between God's law and man's law. And this is the reason for all the dissension we have in our nation. Now that we have that basic truth nailed down, let's talk about the lie that goes along with this animus against God and his law. With this hatred toward the right, there will be a lie to support the hatred. With rebellion against God also comes a lie. Satan didn't just come to Eve in the garden and say rebel against God. He came with a lie justifying the rebellion. A lie that made evil appear good and righteous, beneficial. As George Orwell said in his essay about politics and the English language back in 1946, political language is designed to make lies sound truthful, murder respectable, and to give the appearance of solidity to pure wind, unquote. And we must recognize that the majority of the world will believe these lies because it justifies their sinful practices and their sinful self-righteous view of themselves. The Bible speaks of the whole world being under the power of the lie. Now, this is not a reference to telling lies, as in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness. But the Bible is speaking about one's whole life, one's whole worldview being a lie. Romans 1:25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. This is the Greek word pseudos, that which is false or fake or pretend. And the word pseudos is used in the Bible to refer to individual acts of lying, but it's also used to refer to a whole life of pretending, believing a fantasy about God and about man. As here in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, people exchange a true view of this world about God, man, sin, and redemption for a fantasy view of the world. You either have the right worldview or the wrong worldview. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, What is pseudos? And the falsehood in view here is the entire secular agenda of the Antichrist. In Revelation 22:15, those prohibited from entering the kingdom of heaven are sorcerers and immoral persons and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. Literally in the Greek, practices or lives a lie. And this is not simply talking about telling black and white lies, but in living a lie, believing in a false worldview. At his trial, Jesus said to Pilate, "For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Jesus came with the true worldview, and everyone who has a heart for God's truth identifies with and responds to that truth. And this world is the stage upon which we show the disposition of our heart based upon which worldview we gravitate toward. Now, Pilate, being an evil man, responded to Jesus by saying, "What is truth?" He was clueless. He had no relationship with God and no moral framework by which he could see the world correctly, like so many people today. So we are in a war for truth, or a truth war. Now, the point I want to make today is that in this election season, we are hearing so many lies coming from the candidates, and it's just amazing to watch. Let's recognize that God has put this all before us to teach us something about the nature and the power of lies. So here's a lesson. When one has a wrong worldview about the bigger issues in life, one will lie in the particulars without even knowing it's a lie. Prime example. In the debates, both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris claimed that in reference to white supremacists, Trump said that there are good people on both sides. That in effect, white supremacists, neo-Nazis are good people. That mischaracterization of what President Trump said a few years ago always disturbs me. Kamala Harris said in the debate, he on the issue of Charlottesville, where people were peacefully protesting the need for racial justice, where a young woman was killed, and on the other side, there were neo-Nazis carrying tiki torches, shouting racial epitaphs, anti-Semitic slurs. And Donald Trump, when asked about it, said, "There are fine people on both sides." Biden, in the debate, said, quote, "Close your eyes. Remember what those people look like coming out of the fields, carrying torches, their veins bulging, just spewing anti-Semitic bile, and accompanied by the Ku Klux Klan. A young woman got killed, and they asked the president what he thought. He said, there are fine people on both sides. No president has ever said anything like that." Now, this has been a talking point in the media for months, but it is a complete fabrication. If you go back to President Trump's statement, August 15, 2017, Trump was saying in reference to protests in Charlottesville, "There are fine people on both sides of the monument debate." Then he went on to condemn neo-Nazis and white supremacists. The exact quote is, "You had some very bad people in that group," speaking about the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists, "but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides." So what the media on the left has done is lifted that one sentence out of context and claimed that Trump was saying neo-Nazis are fine people. Even though, again, in that very speech, he condemned the white supremacists and neo-Nazis. This is blatant dishonesty. But the news media on the left wanted to smear the president with accusations of racism, and so they would bend the truth to do it. But here's a question. Are these media people sitting in smoke-filled rooms saying, "You know, we know what the president said, but we can take his words out of context. We can put a spin on it. They'll never know that we're deliberately lying"? In the debate prep, did Joe Biden and Kamala Harris say, "We need to use the accusation that Trump said white supremacists are fine people. Yes, we know it's a fabrication, but the people will believe us over Trump and the media will support us so we can get away with it"? The question is this: do they know they're lying? Or is their worldview so twisted that they actually believe their own lie? They actually think they're telling the truth. I've been asked this question many times. Are they the blind leaders of the blind? Or do they really know they're lying? Well, let's not be naive. We tend to superimpose our own values on other people. And since we would never tell a bold-faced lie, we often think other people would never do the same. But people are liars. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 3. They bend their tongue like the bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Or Romans chapter 3. The indictment against all mankind is that with their tongues they keep deceiving. James O'Keefe, his organization called Veritas, just did some undercover videos of Democrat campaign leaders in Colorado, and they caught a party insider, Christopher Jacks, saying, "I am going to do everything morally acceptable to win. I will lie, I will cheat, I will steal, because that's morally acceptable in this political environment," unquote. So we must understand these people don't operate on Christian ethics. They don't believe in God or God's law, so instead they believe the ends justify the means. And since they believe that their party is the good party fighting for moral freedom and wealth redistribution, if lying results in their winning, lying is justified. Barry Weiss, the writer who just recently left the New York Times because she was bullied by her colleagues for taking some conservative views, last week wrote the following about the motivations of the left. The new creed of the left goes something like this. We are in a war in which the forces of justice and progress are arrayed against the forces of backwardness and oppression. And in a war, the normal rules of the game, due process, political compromise, the presumption of innocence, free speech, even reason itself, must be suspended. Indeed, those rules themselves were corrupt to begin with, designed as they were by dead white males in order to uphold their own power. So Barry Weiss understands that the left believes it's so right in their worldview that the normal rules of telling the truth and reason don't apply. Just like when you're in a war, the United States put out disinformation to fool the Nazis. So the left doesn't play by the rules. They will tell bold-faced lies. However, after making that case, it's also true that those who are steeped in a false worldview will so interpret the world through that false worldview that individual lies look like the truth. And this is what I really want us to learn in today's program: the power of a wrong worldview to cause us to lie in the particulars, to cause us to see falsehoods in the particulars as true because they support our false worldview. I heard recently one commentator say it this way: those on the left believe their ideas are so virtuous that any falseness, any lie, is just a technicality. Well said. So in the case of the president's comments about Charlottesville, the left would say, if you want to be technical, Trump didn't really say neo-Nazis are fine people, but let's not be technical, because we really know for sure that he's a racist, so we know in his heart of hearts he must have really been referring to white supremacists as the fine people. He must have been talking about the neo-Nazis as being fine people, otherwise fine people wouldn't have even been on his mind. He has to be a racist because that's the only explanation we have for his conservative views. So when you believe a lie, you will read your own opinions into the other person's words and actions. And that is what Adam Schiff, the congressman from California, did when he made up a completely fabricated version of Trump's phone conversation with the president of Ukraine. Schiff did this because the words of Trump in the actual phone call did not indict the president. So Schiff had to supply his own interpretation for the people. Now, Schiff later claimed it was a parody, But what he did was a great example of how self-deception works. How people make up their own reality. They hear the words of other people through their own reality. And so they'll lie. And as far as they're concerned, they are telling the truth that other people need to hear. Now, we need to be so careful of this, not just in politics, but in our own personal lives. In our church, in our marriages, on the job, where we might be justifying the lie. Because the lie must be true since it fits our preconceived opinions. Remember the false prophets in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 23? They were convinced that they were hearing from God and their message was true. But the prophet Jeremiah continually had to say, they're prophesying lies. But realize these false prophets were totally convinced that they were right because of their false view of God. Two subpoints here. First, just because a liar doesn't know he is blatantly lying, he is not in any way exonerated from the guilt of lying, because he is still guilty of so loving the false worldview, which leads him to be self-deceived in the first place. Liars who are unaware of the full evil of their lies are still the people described in Revelation 21:15. Those who practice abominations and lying, and they'll never come into the New Jerusalem. Second point, both political parties do this. But the left is far more engaged in the lie. Now, how can we be sure of this? Maybe we're all just influenced by our own bias. Well, if words mean what words mean and the Bible is authoritative, we can be assured that the biblical worldview is not a fantasy. It actually aligns with God's reality. And we know that the left, in their policies, are in clear violation of clear biblical moral injunctions. And so they will continually lie and misrepresent the truth. Don't be fooled. It's very simple. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. The one who says, I have come to know him and doesn't keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John 4, 6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Are they following the word of God? Are they following the apostolic message? So I started reading Kendi's book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. This is the Bible of the BLM movement, the philosophical underpinning behind the narrative that America is fundamentally racist and needs to be overturned. And right in the introduction, he states as gospel truth, six lies against the president. First, that President Trump said, laziness is the trait of blacks. Which is a statement that even PolitiFact says President Trump never made. Number two, that Trump defamed Latino immigrants as mostly criminals and rapists. Number three, that Trump promised a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. Number four, that Trump routinely calls his black critics stupid. Number five, that he claims immigrants from Haiti all have AIDS. And number six, that Trump called white supremacists very fine people. Now, each of those statements are complete misrepresentations of what Trump said. But in Kendi's worldview, this is what Trump meant to say. So here's a book that is stamped with a New York Times award, but it doesn't even tell the truth in making its case. Now, I'm sure Kendi actually believes he is representing Donald Trump and the world correctly because those on the left believe their ideas are so virtuous that any falseness, any lie is just a technicality. Now, as I mentioned last week, in a recent U.S. News and World Report article, nearly half the country, 48%, think the Republican Party has been taken over by racists, a view held by 80% of the Democrats. So the worldview of the Democrats is that conservatives are motivated by racism. Why do they think this? Well, because this has been the propaganda of the left. Call your opponent a racist when he's against homosexual marriage or against abortion or open borders. It's an easy, a convenient way to win an argument without having to deal with the issues. and that racism is behind all biblical morality is the teaching of critical race theory. That biblical values are made up by white people to oppress. That belief in personal responsibility and hard work and equal treatment under law is just a dog whistle for racism. So the left is actually lying by saying the right is racist. Impugning motives is a lie. And the left is lying by selectively taking quotes from people on the right out of context to make it look as if conservatives are racist. This is how pervasive the lie has become. In the first debate, Donald Trump was asked to renounce white supremacy. Why would the moderator even ask that question? Because the questions asked are themselves truth claims. The narrative believed and being pushed is that the political right is racist, and Trump is racist, so he needs to renounce white supremacy. Even though before the debate, Trump is on record as having denounced white supremacy 19 times. Now notice Joe Biden wasn't asked to renounce white supremacy groups, because that's not the narrative the media wants. They want the problem to be seen as on the side of the right, not a problem on the side of the left. But Richard Spencer, probably the most prominent neo-Nazi leader today, and the one who organized the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, has endorsed Joe Biden for president. Because the alt-right is Democrat. They are for the socialism of the Democrat Party. But was Biden asked about this in the debate? That there are racists in his party? No. Because their false worldview causes the left to create a lying narrative against the right. And in the town hall meeting last week with Trump and Savannah Guthrie, Guthrie again asked Trump to denounce white supremacy. And Trump was dumbfounded by the question. Trump said, "I did denounce white supremacy." And, you know, I listened to that previous debate, and I heard Trump say that he denounces white supremacy, but the headlines in the New York Times the next day was, "Trump refused to denounce white supremacy." They only heard what they wanted to hear. Our worldview really affects how we interpret the facts. And if we're promoting a false worldview, we'll lie about the facts. It's no wonder Jesus said constantly, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Because so many people don't have ears to hear the truth. So, if you're listening to this program for the first time, you're probably thinking, "I'm just a Republican hack supporting the president." No, I often criticize people on the right when they mischaracterize statements made by Democrats. But as a Christian, a believer in God's word, I am not going to say that there is a moral equivalency between the two parties. The worldview of the secular state, the worldview of Sodom, is a lie. And the Christian worldview, one nation, under God, is right. You know, in conclusion, what we're learning from the 24/7 news media is that people believe and spout lies because they first believe in a false worldview. Because they don't love the truth, and they don't come to the truth, and therefore they exchange the truth of God for a lie, therefore they become futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts are darkened. Romans chapter 1. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. The extended YouTube version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Just go on to YouTube and check that out. These programs are simply meant to get us looking at God's Word for needed insight. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, you sent your Son to testify to the truth. Help us always be aligned with all the truth, to be of the truth, and to be in the truth. For the sake of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.